Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the radio ministry of Twin City Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church located at 24th and Nicollet Avenue South in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or on the web, twincityfellowship.com. This is Dick Cuffell, your host for this segment. We're speaking today with Bob DeWay, pastor of Twin City Fellowship and author of Critical Issues Commentary. Our topic today is Emergent Delusion, Part 2. Robert, this is the second segment in Emergent Delusion, and I think it'd be better that we start with a little bit of a summary of what we said last week. Could you give us a two-minute shot at that?
Okay. Well, they may want to go back and listen to the archives if you missed it. I'd listen to it because we covered a lot of material. But we're discussing this postmodern version of religion that's called emergent, that's telling us that we can't trust truth claims, propositions, rationality, the sort of things that we usually associate with Christianity. They have been proven to not solve people's problems. They're tied to modernity. We're in postmodernity now, and people don't think that way. So we have to have a new version of Christianity. And the new version is based on mysticism and experience and story, not making truth claims and telling people that certain things are true, certain things are false, that God's going to judge sin, that they need to repent. Those sort of things are out. And what's in is some sort of a mystical experience and this hope that God is going to make the world a better place to live in because he's still creating.
Before we get to really rolling on what we're going to talk about today, is that why there's symbols? Why symbols are so important there?
Well, if you're not going to have rational discourse, this is true, this is false, we're trying to allow the Bible to correct our thinking is how we would want to do it. That we believe that God's word is true, inspired, inerrant. By the way, they don't like those terms. Those are stuck with modernity.
Oh, okay.
They throw those categories out.
All right.
But we would say the Bible's inerrant, inspired, it speaks to us, it can correct us so that we can learn and come to the knowledge of the truth. Not only relationally, knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but we can know true thoughts about God, man, and the world that we live in because they've been revealed in Scripture. Francis Schaeffer said that that Reformation understanding of Scripture was the antidote to what he called the new theology, which was neo-orthodoxy during the 20th century. I'm saying that this is just another version of that. It isn't even new. It's something that's been around for 100 years. In these academic circles, and people like Karl Barth and Bultmann and Tillich and people like that, but now it's coming into a version for young people that's more up to speed on the latest thinking about the fact that we can't really know the truth.
You mentioned Schaeffer, and he talked about the line of despair. That actually was kind of the next segment in your paper
right,
when you wrote this thing. Tell me about objectivity for postmoderns.
Well, objectivity is a myth, so they say.
Okay.
I studied this, by the way, in seminary in some fairly high-level versions. I read some of the latest thinkers from postmodernity, so I have interacted with these ideas. And their idea is that the structures of our own mind, our worldview, our paradigm, a paradigm is a mental construct of reality that we live in, the way we assume things are, it creates this huge filter so that what's coming to us is filtered through that, and so we don't see things as they really are. And being unable to see things as they really are, we're stuck in this, to quote the movie, matrix. And so somehow, if it's even possible, we have to deconstruct, another term they use, we got to deconstruct this layers of socially constructed reality that we're stuck in so that we can get to what? Not necessarily the truth, because if we got there, then we'd be stuck back in modernity thinking we could know the truth, which we don't believe anymore.
That whole deconstruction thing, I want to stop you there for just a moment. That has to do with, I believe that I know what's behind what you're saying. Is that the idea?
Yeah, a real simple version would be the old-fashioned way of reading the Declaration of Independence in the Constitution would be all men are created equal, inalienable rights, so on and so forth.
Yep.
The deconstruction person would look at it and say, no, these were white Eurocentric males who were really saying this is our way of maintaining our own dominance and putting down women and people from other nationalities.
Winners write history.
Winners write history. So in other words, you're deconstructing because these people ostensibly saying these things, but they really were saying something else because of the culture they lived in.
Okay.
And so you have to try to uncover these things. Now, the question is, when you're done with all your uncovering, what is it that you know now? And how do you know that you're not in some socially constructed reality that's just as far from the truth as what you think these people were?
So we're in the matrix.
And so you're in the matrix, and maybe you took the wrong pill or something. You can't get out of it. So what do you do when you're in the matrix and there's no clear way to have this idea of, I actually am seeing the world as it is. I'm understanding God has, he's chosen to reveal himself, and I know the truth. We're ruling that out. So what are we going to do now? I'm calling this the line of despair, and Schaefer warned about it. So again, an antidote, if you're a young college person or an intellectual that's attracted to this postmodern thinking, I would suggest, if you really do want to be objective or at least question things, this whole matrix idea, this whole postmodern idea needs to be questioned just as much as modernity did. And I suggest that the way you do that is go back and read Schaefer, read somebody from a different era, and see how clearly Schaefer delineated these things and showed what the issues are. And I think he speaks very clearly to us. And if you're a young Christian, I would suggest Schaefer died in, I think, 1980, thereabouts, or somewhere. Late 70s.
In the 80s.
I heard him speak in the 70s one time. But I think it'll be surprising. If you can see somebody from the 20th century warning about all this stuff that never really hit the scene until now, scene of history, it shows that there may be something to it. I think Schaefer is an antidote to postmodern spirituality.
Okay. Schaefer, like the world of epistemology, that's the study of knowledge. How do you distinguish between valid knowledge and invalid knowledge? But he said, he claimed that this despair was the result of autonomy.
Right. Let me give some terms here. Autonomy is a big thing for Schaefer, because what he said happened was man cut himself off from God and began with himself. And beginning with himself, this is modern man, rationalistic man, analyzed the universe he's in, and studying these particulars, formulated a universal, but in a closed system. What do I mean by closed system?
What does that mean?
God isn't speaking into this system. We have no revelation from God.
Did he use the phrase, I think it was, man qua man is absolute? Man is man is,
yeah,
all there is.
Right. That's all there is. Okay. You start from yourself, and you ended up with secular humanism. Now, what the postmodern thinkers are doing is taking that whole thing, and we agree it was a failed system. All right.
Yes.
And they're saying, well, see, modernity failed, so we have another version of how we're going to live, and it's called postmodernity, and we don't believe that you can come to a rational answer about things. But what Schaefer is saying is that they fail to distinguish between rational and rationalism. Rational is the fact that humans are created in the image of God.
We can think.
We can think. We can ask these questions. We can observe the creation God put us in and come to knowledge and use that knowledge to survive on the face of the earth.
What's rationalistic?
Rationalistic is when you rule out God, start from self, and try to formulate all the answers, assuming you're in a closed system, that God has not spoken.
And he, Schaefer, is saying there's no answers there.
You end up with despair. Let me read where you end up. Here's a humanist who did that. And a guy named Paul Kurtz. He's very famous.
We had him for a discussion one time,
a debate,
didn't we?
Yeah, yes. Debate. Okay, here's what Paul Kurtz says. The humanists, on the contrary, ask that we as human beings face up to the human condition as it is. Humanists accept the fact that God is dead, that we have no way of knowing that he exists, or even if knowing that this is a meaningful question. They accept the fact that human existence is probably a random occurrence existing between two oblivions.
Oh, wow.
That death is inevitable, that there is a tragic aspect to our lives, and that all moral values are our own creations. Unquote. Paul Kurtz. Now, you can see why people would reject that, because that's despair, all right?
But absolutely.
Absolutely. But Schaefer says that's what happens when you refuse to accept divine revelation. If, however, God has spoken to us in terms, as Schaefer said, that are meaningful to God and us, and that his self-revelation tells us what Schaefer called true truth about the world we live in, about ourselves, about God, and about his plan, then we don't have this despair. And so he said we need to return to the Reformation understanding of Scriptures.
His alternative is the Reformation understanding of the Scriptures.
Right. Exactly. Now, the postmodern alternative is a rejection of the despair of modernism and rationalism, but it does so by embracing, what would I call it? I guess you'd have to call it romanticism or mysticism, that we choose to believe in a universe that seems good to us. We choose to believe that things are going to get better. We choose to believe that we can cooperate and make the world a better place to live in. And since I can't know the truth and you can't know the truth or nobody else can know the truth, we can choose a mission and we'll just let the mission guide us.
But if we go back to the thinking about what the Scriptures said or what the confessions, everybody seems to have had a confession in the major denominations a while ago, you end up with something that says we can know something truly about God because he's revealed it to man. But the postmoderns have a problem with that. What's the problem?
The problem is that the Scriptures are read by people. And I, the reader, am stuck in some mental matrix, and that I may think I'm reading meaningful words from the Bible. In fact, why don't I just quote McLaren on that, and it'll tell you where he's going, okay?
Okay.
Here's what he said. How do I know, and he emphasizes I, how do I know the Bible is always right? And if I am sophisticated enough to realize that I know nothing of the Bible without my own involvement via interpretation, I'll also ask how I know which school, method, technique of biblical interpretation is right. What makes a good interpretation good? If an appeal is made to a written standard, a book or doctrinal statement, or to common sense as to scholarly principles of interpretation, the same pesky I who liberated us from the authority of the church will ask, who sets the standard? Who's common sense? Which scholars? Why? Don't all these appeals to authorities and principles outside the Bible actually undermine the claim of ultimate biblical authority, and aren't they a new pope? Unquote. Brian McLaren. So what he's saying is that we are very naive if we think we can read the Bible, understand the words in there, and know what God has said, and have an assurance of the truth. Why? Because our minds are playing tricks. We have all these interpreters out there, and we can't trust them. We've got these statements. We can't trust them. And so he throws up this smokescreen of despair to suggest to young people that if you open your Bible and read it, you have no clue what that's saying.
This happened to me when I was reading your paper, and I hadn't read all this stuff. I never read the Orthodoxy. I just read what you said about it. But at that point, I stopped and said, what happened to this guy, or to the people, that made them absolutely give up on objective truth?
Well, in his case, he's an intellectual. And I can tell you from reading when I was in seminary, I took on this issue, by the way.
Okay.
And I did a bunch of in-depth research because I wanted to see where this was going. If you read these high-level PhD thinkers, every possible way of knowing the truth, they claim they can shoot it down. Sense knowledge is unreliable. Falsification doesn't work. Verification doesn't work. Any possible way that anybody could ever know anything, very, very brilliant people have shot holes in it, or so they say, and they end up with the only thing that would be foolish is to think you could know something.
You know, we've had this little partial discussion before, but the simple thing is they just made a declarative statement.
That's the problem. I have a paper I wrote on this, on Thomas Kuhn's paradigm thesis, where this whole type of thinking originated back in 69.
It was excellent.
And we're hoping to launch a new website and put that on there, a bunch of other scholarly material. But here's what one of the quotes in there from people that were rejecting this that I agreed with. They said, the relativist, poor soul, has to argue for his own insanity. And frankly, that's the Achilles heel of this whole type of thinking. Because, for example, Brian McLaren is very sure he knows what his mission is. So he calls himself missional. I know what my mission is. I don't have a theology, but I have a mission. And when I do my mission, my theology be constructed according to whatever helps the mission. I've debated with people who think that makes it a reasonable statement, but the question is, you have to somehow have known that this is the right mission. How do you know this is the mission God wants you to be on if the Bible's not reliable, theology's not reliable? Where do you get the mission? Well, what you end up with is personal preference. And McLaren so much as says that.
Wow.
I prefer this. I prefer this kind of universe, this kind of God, this kind of mission. And that's what these seven Jesuses are. He goes through seven Jesuses.
We're going to talk about that in next week's segment.
But it's like, I call it a theology of personal preference. Now, having chosen his mission, that's non-negotiable. And if I come along and say, no, I think the mission, according to Jesus, where he said this, repentance for forgiveness of sins is to be preached to all the nations. Doesn't Jesus tell us what mission we're on?
I think so.
Well, repentance for forgiveness of sins is nowhere to be found, at least personal repentance. Now, he agrees with corporate. If I say to a person, you've broken God's law, the wrath of God is directed against your sin, you need a blood atonement. The good news is Christ died for sins once for all, and he bodily ascended into heaven, bodily was raised from the grave. They don't have any time for that. That's a consumer product, personal salvation from hell. But if I say, on the other hand, corporations are polluting planet Earth, that's a sin, and they should repent, they'd say, great, now you got it.
We're going to discuss that next week.
Okay.
Okay. But I think it'd be well for us to step back a little bit and say, what does God hold us accountable for?
The knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, there's one who will judge you in the last day, the words that I've spoken to you.
Okay. You mentioned something out of Romans as being a pretty good quote.
Yeah, I remember this from a seminary class where the same kind of discussion was going on. And after listening to it for a while, I said, how in the world is God going to hold anybody accountable if nobody could have ever known anything anyhow? But here's what it says in Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Romans 1:18-19. If this is true, maybe McLaren would say, well, how do you know that's the right interpretation? Well, read it. These are words that anybody can understand. I'm not playing any games. It says it. All right? In human language, it's very clear. So what does it mean? It means we can know the truth and we're accountable for it. And if we suppress it, we'll be judged. Now, don't these young people going to these emergent churches have a right to know about this?
Absolutely.
Should this be hidden from them while they're having their nice, wonderful experience? And then someday they'll stand before God and he'll say, I never knew you. And they'll say, well, we were told that we couldn't come to the knowledge of the truth.
So the question we're going to close with today is this. Is God going to acquit anyone on the day of judgment on the grounds that certainty about knowing is impossible for humans?
The same guy that I quoted earlier, Paul Kurtz, Okay, I saw a debate with him and a Christian on Ankerberg, and at the very end, they put that to him. Well, what happens if there is a God? And Paul Kurtz, the humanist, says this, he will not be able to convict me because he never gave me enough evidence.
Really?
That's what he said. It was scary to hear that, because he said there's not enough evidence for God's existence, so therefore, if there is a God and we end up with a day of judgment, he'll have to acquit me because of his own fault, he didn't give me enough evidence.
That was Kurtz's statement?
Yes, on his video. We have it in our church library.
Oh, man.
But now listen, here's the difference. Kurtz was a rationalist from modernity. These people now are rejecting rationalism and modernity. How are they coming to any different conclusion than Kurtz does? He has kind of a bleak negative conclusion. We can't know. They're saying we can't know, but we can choose. We can choose to believe in the kind of God we like. We'll choose to believe in the Jesus we like. We'll choose to believe in the world we like. We'll choose to believe in the mission we like. Why? Well, we don't have to have a why. Because that's just asking why is a throwback to modernity, and we're post-modernity, so we don't need a why.
That is absolutely scary. We're going to pick it up next week about the Jesus that we serve.
Okay.
Okay? So that's the end of this segment. For those of you who might want to contact us or visit our church, we are Twin City Fellowship, located at 24th and Nicollet Avenue South in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Our telephone number is 612-874-7484, or you can find us on the web at twincityfellowship.com. For Critical Issues Commentary, this is Dick Cuffell
and Bob Duway.
See you next week.